Well, good morning to everybody. I'm going to take you through 2 Chronicles chapter 25. I'm going to give a survey of the life of Amaziah. And then from that, we're going to look at three points. There's many in this text, but we're going to look at three main points that the scriptures are going to center on. But Amaziah, in 2 Chronicles 25, 1 through 28, was considered a good king, but he didn't have a loyal heart. I want to give you a little background. A little background on his grandfather was Joash. And so Joash was a good king, and Joash was involved in rebuilding or remodeling the temple at the time. And he had some problems. And the problem that he had in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 was he had a temper and he had an issue with pride. And so one day the prophet Jehoiada, the priest at the time, had confronted him. And in confronting him, he wasn't happy about it. So he had the king murdered. Or not the king, but the priest, the prophet, murdered. And then shortly thereafter, some people in town, the leaders in the town, got together with the king, and they decided they weren't going to serve God any longer. They were going to serve the idols that were prevalent in the land. Now, at this time, we're talking about the area of Judah, the land of Judah, because the kingdom was divided into two. The north was Israel, and the south was Judah. And so, history shows us that the southern kingdom, Judah, had kings that followed God, and that they were believers in Yahweh, even though they weren't perfect. But one of the things I'd like to draw your attention to is that when we get to Amaziah, one of the things that's said about him is that, again, is that he was a good God, or I mean a good king, but he did not follow God with his whole heart. But we have one in Jesus Christ, who is our priest, who is our king, who is completely faithful, who has done everything the Father has expected of him, who became like us in all ways, but he didn't sin. And so he was perfect. So we're going to contrast Amaziah against Christ Jesus here in the next few minutes. So Amaziah, he takes the throne at age 25. And it says here that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but did not have a loyal heart. One of the first things that Amaziah did is that he dealt with the traitors within the nation of Judah. And so those that had killed his father, he had also killed himself. The next thing we see is that he's 25 and he's probably a couple years have gone on. And so now he has control of the military. He has desires, and his desires is that he wants to expand the kingdom. But he realizes that he doesn't have a large army, so he conscripts about 300 people from within the land, and they become his army. And he's sizing up his army because he's going to go to battle with the Edomites, and he realizes that he doesn't have enough people. And so he decides he's going to enlist some mercenaries, and the mercenaries happen to be from the nation of Israel, or the northern kingdom. And they happen to be Ephraimites. And so he takes in 100,000 of these Ephraimites. And again, they're mercenaries, so they do it for hire. And he cuts a deal with them, and he says, look, I'm going to pay you X number of dollars. In today's money, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2.5 million that he was going to pay them. And I think it was 100 talents of silver is what he was going to pay them. And so the priest comes up and confronts him and says, Amaziah, what are you doing? And Amaziah is listening, and so the priest says to him, he says, you know, God doesn't want you partnering with these Ephraimites from Israel because they don't serve the Lord your God. They don't serve the God that you serve. And so he says, what you need to do is you need to cut the ties with these men and let them go their way, and you go your way and prepare for the battle with the Edomites. So the king does that. But the Ephraimites are just extremely aggravated with him. Now, he lets them go. He paid them. They go with their money. But they don't just go because They're in it for the battle too. They take delight in the battle. They take delight in destruction and pillaging. And so the king's not aware of this, but the mercenaries, they're traveling through the land to get back home. In the meantime, the king is battling Edom. And as he's battling Edom, he's having just one large victory. And so he's taking much spoils. And about 20,000 people die in this battle that are Edomites. While that's going on, as the Ephraimites that were the mercenaries are going through the land back to Israel, the Ephraim in particular, they're going through Judah, but they decide they're going to pillage and they're going to destroy, and about 3,000 people within the land of Judah die. And you might ask, well, why did the Lord allow these people from Judah die, these 3,000? They're supposedly followers of Yahweh. Well, one of the things that was going on in that land was that there was idol worship. And so they didn't rid the land of idol worship. And so there were pockets throughout the land where there was idol worship. And so the text goes on. It doesn't go into a lot of detail about why, but history tells us is that probably was judgment on those people for their sin and their denial of God. And so as we continue on, what happens is that Amaziah returns home, and as Amaziah returns home, he comes home with this great victory. And then Amaziah encounters something else. While he was in battle, he decided that he was going to take the gods of the Edomites and make them his own. So he's battling an internal battle about being loyal to God or doing what he wants to do. And what we found early on is that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but he was not loyal. And so now his lack of loyalty is being shown for what it is. And so he takes these Edomite gods and he decides that he's going to serve them. He's going to worship them. He's going to put incense. He's going to have incense for them. And so he starts to make them the preeminence in his life. It's no longer God the Father. Yahweh is no longer preeminent in his life. And in the land, they also have this idolatry that's going on. So Amaziah is confronted by the priest. And it doesn't give the name of the priest. The priest comes and he says to him, what is this that you're doing? You know, that you're serving these idols that couldn't save the people who you battled against and you destroyed them all. Now you've made them like they're your God, like they're going to do something for you. What's wrong with you? And so the king gets upset. And he says, look, you better watch your tongue, because if you don't watch your tongue, I'm going to have you killed. And so the priest backs off a little bit. But then the priest continues on and he says, God is displeased. And as a result of that, God is going to require your life from you. Now, this time, Amaziah is like 14 years into his kingship. And he reigned for 29 years. So we still have some time out ahead of us that things can change. But in Amaziah's life, it didn't change. Amaziah just continued to fall into his habits of wandering and habits of pride and arrogance. And as God increased him, he became more arrogant, more boastful, more pride-filled. And so one day, the king sends a letter to the king of Israel, who is Joash. And he says to Joash, he says, I want to meet you out in the battlefield. And we're going to have it out once and for all. And so Joash sends a message back, the king of Israel, and he says, look, there's no need for this. Because Joash knows he has a stronger army. He knows that he can defeat King Amaziah. But he says, no, you know, we don't want to do this. Because all you're going to do is you lose your life and your kingdom is going to be scattered. And so it's God warning Amaziah through Joash, King Joash. But Amaziah won't have anything to do with that. So Amaziah pursues it and pushes Joash till eventually Joash says, I will meet you out in the battlefield. And so the battlefield happens to be in Judah, near Jerusalem. And so as they're going out into the battle, King Joash routs King Amaziah. He takes him prisoner. And he goes into the city. He devastates the city. He breaks down the wall. There's something like 400 cubits of space. I don't know what a cubit is equivalent to in a mile, but a considerable amount of the wall is devastated. So now they're vulnerable to their enemies. Not only are they vulnerable to their enemies, but he takes all of the silver, all of the gold, all of the valuables that are in the temple. He takes it all, and he takes it back to Samaria with him, King Joash does. And he takes about 3,000 people prisoner with him as well. Now, King Amaziah, for the next 15 years, though he is not a prisoner of King Joash, he really doesn't have a kingdom to rule. I mean, he's ruling a kingdom, but it doesn't have any financial means to continue to keep itself going. It's lost its treasure. The army has been devastated, and so now the people have lost confidence in him. And on top of that, he continues to serve these idols. And so as a result of that, when Joash dies, of course, King Amaziah lives another 15 years, but then a conspiracy swells up within the nation. And then eventually what happens is King Amaziah is assassinated. And so what we see is we see the life of a king that started out well, because when he was a young boy, until he became king, he served God. And he was very faithful, and he was in the scriptures, and he was doing all the right things. But about 25, when he became king, life started to change. And life started to change because life started to get good. And then he started to get boastful, and he started to get prideful. But the reason that this all occurred is because his heart was not dedicated to the Lord God. And we as Christians, as believers today, those are the very same things that we face. Is that we face the danger of things becoming too comfortable for us, too good for us, that God no longer is preeminent in our lives. Yes, we go through the motions just like King Amaziah did, but our hearts aren't in it. And so that leads me to the three points that I want to share with you today. First of all, King Amaziah did what was right, but not with a loyal heart. Mark 12:30 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment." Jesus said this when he was talking to a scribe. He was talking about how we should love the God. He didn't say that we should love God part-time. He didn't say sometimes. He didn't say when things are going good, when things are going bad. He says all the time is that we need to be fully committed to God. And we need to be fully committed to Jesus Christ, that we are to love the Lord with our heart, our emotions, with our soul, our feelings, with our mind, our logic as we think through things, and with our strength. Whatever we do, our entire lives are dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can live a victorious life, is in Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Because King Amaziah was an example for us, is that if you live a half-hearted life, God will not get your best, and surely it's going to come to a bad end for each of those individuals that choose to live that way. You will leave this world with regrets. And so we need to commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. Now, I'm reminded of Revelations 2. We heard it in earlier today, which the church of Ephesus. He said, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from it." Repent. And so, again, what we see here is a first love. Is that we wander. People have a tendency to wander from their first love, but we don't have to, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We have the power of God living inside us that is constantly calling out to us to serve Him, to grow in Him, to know Him, to love Him, to grow deeper in love with the Lord Jesus. So we have an advocate. We have a helper. We have the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a victorious Christian life. And as we continue on, the second point is Amaziah. We see that God causes Amaziah to disregard the warning to chastise him and Judah for their idolatry. And so what we see is that we think we can play with God. We think we can have one foot in and one foot out, that we don't have to be totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we say and everything we do and everything that we watch and everything that we observe, everything we listen to. Our world is filled with things that try to grab our senses, from our reason to our emotions, and draw us away from God. And so we saw this with King Amaziah. King Amaziah refused to repent. And a heart that refuses to repent is bound for destruction, at least destruction in the flesh. And so we see is that you cannot have peace if you continue, and if people continue to disregard the warnings that come from God through the power of His Word. And so we look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. The great news is that we all who are like Amaziah at some point in our lives, but Jesus Christ, knowing that, extended His grace and His love to us and redeemed us. And so we live in the power of that redemption each and every day. But it's renewed through the Word of God. We continue to allow our minds and our bodies and our lives to be transformed and to become more like Jesus each and every day. But we are reminded is that God demonstrated His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a beautiful statement about the love of God for each one of us here. And that love is in the person of Jesus Christ, who we lift up today. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, yes, we have sinned, but let's repent of our sin. Every day, every moment of every day, as the Holy Spirit brings to our hearts and our minds that we need to repent for something we said, something we saw, something we heard, something we voluntarily committed ourselves to, or we might be thinking of committing ourselves to. Those secret things within our hearts and our lives and our minds that we think we own, we do not own. The Holy Spirit goes through us, and He knows every aspect of what's going on inside Kirk, every part of your fiber He is aware of. And so He examines that, and then He brings us to a place where we can repent. And if we do repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from that unrighteousness and set us on a right track again to serve the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be pleasing unto Jesus. Jesus made us pleasing unto the Father because His blood cleansed us of our sins. It is His grace that keeps us. But are we living lives that are pleasing to Christ Jesus, who gave everything for us? Are we honoring His name? Are we honoring His presence within our lives? When we don't, we can confess our sin. If we go on to Hebrews, we see in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, the scriptures say, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Perhaps today you're at a place in your life where you've reached the end. Perhaps you're at a place where you don't think you can go on in your Christian life. You don't think you could be productive in your Christian life. You don't think you could be used of God. You don't think that Jesus cares for you or loves you like He once did because of the sin that may have come into your life or my life. I've been there. I know what that feels like. And that is a devastating and that is a dark place to be. But the good news is that Jesus Christ is our high priest. He knows what that feels like. He knows what it is to be separated for a period of time from the Father when He was on the cross and He was begging the Father for this not to go on, that He would be separated because of our sin. But we continue on and we see in Hebrews, he says that Jesus Christ passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. He sympathizes with us and He has redeemed us. And He continues to call us to Himself. He continues to remind us that He loves us. And no matter what you've done, no matter what I've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've lost, there is still a God with open arms through the Son, through His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, inviting you, inviting me to continue to hold fast to our confession of faith, because the race isn't over until it's over. And until it's over, Jesus Christ is sufficient for us through the power of the Holy Spirit to live out this Christian life. But Amaziah disregarded that. And as a result, what occurred was that chastisement was brought into his life. God wanted him not to be a mediocre king, but to be a king similar to what David was. David sinned, did terrible sins. He committed murder. He committed adultery. And he counted people and he of his pride. And then one third of his nation was almost wiped out. And so what we see is that we don't have to live with stiff necks and be unrepentant towards God. Wherever we are, God has an open arms to us. He loves us and He's drawing us unto Himself. And we don't have to die a life or live a life under the chastisement of God, because Christ has already done that for us at the cross. And so if we live within the grace of Jesus Christ and we live according to the Word of God and we obey Him, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Let us love the Lord. Let us love one another. Let us love the Scriptures. Let us pray that God will give us a heart for the things of God. And as He does, our lives will flourish. And whatever chastisement there was that was waiting for us has already been put on the back of Jesus Christ. And we can move free, and we can move with joy in the life that we now live. The third point about Amaziah, that he suffers a terrible defeat from Israel, and he lives the last 15 years of his life in shame as king, and then is eventually assassinated by the conspirators of his own people. That was the judgment that was brought. But let's look, see what the Scripture has to say in Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amaziah didn't have life and peace. He lived, but he was not alive. He was always living in a place of shame and constant defeat because he let his past take control of his future. There might be something in your past that you just can't shake, that you want to get rid of. It keeps holding you back, and you're wondering, how can I move forward because of what I've done? No matter what it is, Jesus Christ is the answer. You've confessed it. You've confessed it over and over again. Now believe it. Believe with your heart, not with your mind, that the forgiveness is yours because Christ already paid for our sins. He already gave us that forgiveness. When we go to Him in faith, we can come out on the other end in joy because the reality of His blood has already cleansed us of our wrongdoings and our mistakes and our sins. But for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only victory in Jesus. There is victory in no other. You might go to get psychological help. You might see a psychiatrist. You might talk to a million friends about the issues, and then you still go home and you're not at peace. Why aren't you at peace? Why am I not at peace? Because the only one that can give us peace is Jesus Christ. Because He is the peacemaker. He is the truth. He says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is this freedom that He speaks of? Jesus speaks of a freedom that only the Scriptures and faith in the Son of the living God can bring us to a place where we can have peace within our hearts, that where we are in life is where He wants us to be. And from that point, we can grow further and deeper in love with Jesus Christ and more like our Lord and Savior. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. That is a good verse to memorize. That is a wonderful verse to memorize because we are totally dependent on Jesus Christ. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean mind. Create in me a clean tongue. Give me purity. Give me holiness. Give me a life that desires that more than anything else. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus each and every day. Give me more of Him. I need more of Him. I have all that I need in Him. But I need to be transformed into His likeness, as it says in Romans. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds daily. Are we in the Word of God daily? Are we praying daily? Are we loving daily? Are we involved in our faith? As we heard earlier today in the business meeting, is that it's more than just giving the check. It's more than just saying, hope you're doing well, or I'll say a prayer. It's getting involved in people's lives. Get involved in the life between husband and wife. Get involved in the life with parents to children. Get involved in the lives and spreading the love of Jesus Christ among one another. This is what we're designed for. This is what we need to be doing, loving God and loving one another. We continue on. It says in Romans 10:11, whoever believes on Him, Christ Jesus, will not be put to shame. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Then, and forgiveness of your sins, there's no reason to be shame. There is no shame for us now. Shame comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from God through the power of His Holy Spirit. If we are convicted, that is a good thing, because that means God is at work in our lives. But if you're living in shame, you're living under the terror of the enemy, and we need to go ahead and bring it before God. We need to bring it to the church, bring it to the pastor, bring it to the elder, bring it to one another, and pray for one another. The Bible says that we should pray for one another, that God would heal us. And so let us continue to grow in Christ. Let us continue to believe in Christ, and we won't put to shame. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you've trusting something else but Him, today is the day of salvation. Today we invite you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to ask Him to be Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Ephesians 2:4-7, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love for which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Whatever kindness God is showing us, it is because of Jesus Christ. It is because of His love for us. It is because His redemptive work in us. And His redemptive work in us means that through faith we become part of the family of God. And as the family of God, God the Father showers us with His love and His blessings, provides us what we need because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And lastly, Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising Him, has sat down of God. Jesus Christ saw the cross, despised the shame, so we wouldn't have to live in shame, so that we can live in the joy and the perfection of His love each and every day, and know that one day we will be with Him, we will Him, and we will be like Him. And we can understand, we can be assured that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ, because He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us each and every day. And so today, if you need to make things right with the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer, take time, repent. Take time, let Him create a clean heart in you. Let Him do His perfect work in you, because that is His desire, is to bless you with His presence, to bless you with His peace, to heal your families, to heal your relationships. And no matter what you go through, no matter what I go through, we can have the assurance that He goes with us. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, there was one like the Son of God that was there with them. And who was it? It was the Lord Jesus that was with them. He is with us. He goes with us. He goes before us, and He loves us. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us, Father God, and that you sent Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the perfect one, the only one that could redeem us from our sin and make things right between you and us, Father God. May we grow in the likeness of Jesus each and every day, and may the power of Christ be seen in our lives, be seen. And may we as your people be transformed in the Word of God and through the love of Christ. And may that be manifested as we love one another in the world, sharing the good news of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.